Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the praise team. Give them a praise, amen. Give them a praise for ushering in the presence of God, amen. We are grateful to God on this day. I thank you all. See you standing and ready, amen. We're going to dismiss the little ones. Y'all were able to go back. Sister Miracle, again, it's her birthday. Let me say happy birthday to my baby real quick, amen. She embarrasses her, amen. We love you. She going to take the kingdom for us today, so we are grateful for that, amen. So the little ones, y'all are dismissed to go with Sister Miracle. As she is instructing y'all, amen. So we appreciate that. Amen, amen. Y'all ready for the word?
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is good and God is kind. Amen. Can we all stand up to read scripture? Amen. Can we all get on our feet? All who are able, please stand for the reading of God's word. Amen. We want to honor God's word. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 22. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Today's message is to press start on my worship. Amen. 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 We need to press start on our worship. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Last week, we initiated and activated the Press Start movement. Yeah. We looked at the father of faith whose name was Abram, but after he trusted God and moved how God called him to, his name got changed to Abraham. The year that we are expecting to have, I want you to know that it can't even begin to happen without faith. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Yeah.
Without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. But you must first believe he is who he says he is, according to the writer in Hebrews. The question then becomes, if I'm walking in faith, y'all, then this should unquestionably lead to my worship of God. We're going to hit reverse in Genesis. We was at 12 last week. We'll go back to chapter 5. And we're going to look at the descendants of Adam. Look at this, y'all. Genesis 5 and 3. When Adam was 130 years old, he became the father of a son.
Come on.
Who was just like him in his very image.
Come on.
His name, his son, Seth. Amen. Well, why is that important, Pastor? Why are we talking about Adam and we're in the beginning of Genesis? I thought we were talking about worship today. Why is that important? Just follow me. I got to prepare the food. Amen. You don't want to eat no food, especially a chicken, right? That ain't seasoned and ain't done. Amen. It ain't beef. I know you can go beat him well with beef if you like it, but the chicken you can't do like that. You eat it at the wrong temperature, you'll get sick.
Come on.
And sometimes people prepare spiritual food at the wrong temperature. They don't give you the right scriptures, they don't give you the right context, and then you're eating the food and you don't even know you're eating the wrong thing.
Come on.
So let me prepare it, amen. So follow me now. We in Genesis 5. Adam had a son named Seth who was just like him in his image. But hold up, I thought Adam had kids before Seth.
Okay.
He did. He had two sons before Seth, Cain and Abel. Genesis 4 and 3 and 5a. When it was time for harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord.
Yeah.
Abel also brought a gift, the best of the firstborn lambs of his flock.
Yeah.
The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain's gift. Amen. So we know what happens next. If you've been to any Sunday school 101, any bit in church, you got a pretty good idea who Cain and Abel are. But if you don't, I'm going to help you out. I'm going to bring you here anyway. Cain and Abel. So Cain became very angry. He became very dejected when God didn't accept his offering. He got kind of mad. Amen. So understand this. He got him so mad that he wanted to hurt his brother. So look at this. The point I want us all to see is that faith leads to worship. So we're going to have a running definition of worship. This is our running definition. The feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. Amen. You don't know what worship is. This is the feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. So the first example of worship outside of the Garden of Eden, y'all, outside this, Adam and Eve seeing the ate from the fruit from the tree. They're outside of paradise now. The first murder in human history came behind worship. And
wow.
Deep.
Wow.
All because Cain, watch this, decided to worship God how he wanted to, and then got mad because God didn't accept it. Ain't that a trip?
He wanted. That's it.
He got mad because God didn't accept his offering. and then got mad at God and his brother. Ain't it a trip? We want God to bless us, to give us favor, to give us grace, to give us mercy. But then we got the nerve to tell him he ought to accept our worship however we want to give it to him. We ought to tell God, I'll pray when I want to pray. I read when I want to read. I fast when I want to fast. Come to church when I want to come to church. I serve when I want to, but yet we want God to bless our socks off. Don't work like that, y'all. But God was cool, y'all. We serve an awesome, cool God. He came to Cain. He said, look here, brother. Look here. I see you mad. You upset. You ain't got to be like that. Just do what's right. Sin is at your door, and it want to have you, and you got to master it. Give me the right offering, and yours to be accepted too. You ain't got to hate on your brother, and you ain't got to be mad at me. But Cain got so upset, y'all. He let anger consume him that we know what happened. He killed his own brother. And then lied to God about it. Where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Come on, New Jack City. Am I my brother's keeper? Lied to God because he was upset and angry. And it's a trick because anyone in here that has any kind of thing in life, if you've been to high school, got a diploma, or you got a certificate, a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a PhD, you didn't get to tell the counselors how you was going to get a degree. You didn't get to tell the academic advisors how many credits you was going to go. I know it's like 128 for my bachelor, but I'm only doing 110. And I still spent my diploma. You went there, you submitted to the school, to their rules and regulations, and what trips me out, that's man-made. But then people don't want to follow the Bible because they want to say the Bible is man-made. And in a trip, no, God inspired people by the Holy Spirit. He used man to write it, but it was inspired to his Holy Spirit. So it ain't that you don't want to submit to something that's made by man. You don't want to submit to God. Just tell me the truth. Tell me I want to do what I want to do. I want to live how I want to live. And I want to do like that. I don't care what God has to say. Don't make up your own reasoning that don't even make sense.
That's it.
Critical thinking is important, y'all.
Yeah.
So Genesis 4 brings us to tell us about the lineage of Cain.
Come on.
God sends him away from murdering Abel. He said, look here. You got to leave. You can't hang over here no more. You didn't kill your brother. You got to leave. I'm sending you away. Cain's like, I can't bear it. It's too great. Somebody knows what I did. They're going to kill me. God says, I'm going to put a mark on you. And if anybody does anything to you, they're going to receive 7 times worse than what you got. So God puts a mark on him. He sends him away. He goes. He finds a wife. And he goes to a place called Nod. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor, how he have a wife? I thought that was the beginning. Adam and Eve had other sons and daughters. That was the beginning of civilization. It had to start somehow, some way. Can't do that now. Praise God. Y'all follow me. Amen. We got Dawson. Y'all follow me. Okay. Let me make sure. People are like, how he have a wife? From Adam and Eve, his sister. Obviously, amen. It's not that hard. So look what happens. Genesis 4:17. Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Then Cain founded a city, which he named Enoch after his son. So I know what you're thinking, Pastor. We're talking about worship, and you're talking about Enoch. Say, this is the wrong Enoch. Amen. Praise God. This is the wrong Enoch. It's tripping me out because I was preparing a sermon. God began to speak. He says, the enemy has always tried to foil God's plans by copying God's plans. Okay. He always tries to foil what God's plans are by copying God's plans. I'm going to give you an example. God received worship in heaven. He didn't like that. He said, I'm pretty. I'm the prettiest thing up here. Ain't nothing as beautiful as me. I deserve that worship. So he convinced a third of the angels to come worship me because y'all can't really see God. Y'all just see the light of God. I'm too beautiful. Come worship me. And they convinced him worship was correct, but it was the wrong kind of worship. He tried to copy it. So Cain has a son, gives him the name Enoch. If you look at this lineage of Cain, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit, the lineage of Seth, they have some of the same names, but a different lineage. Multiple times throughout scripture, Satan tries to imitate and pervert God's commandments, ordinance, because this is the only way he can receive his worship. It's the only way he can receive his worship by perverting what God says. Okay. God told us to go be fruitful and go multiply. Amen. That was the commandment from the beginning. Be fruitful and multiply. By Genesis 6, you got angels just coming down, sleeping with women, taking the bloodline. You got Nephilim and giants. He tried to pervert what God said, and that's why God had to flood the earth because it got out of control. God gets glory from man and woman coming together to create. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. So from man and woman coming together, creating children, bring God's glory. Even in sin, which means even if you weren't married before, amen. Anybody had kids before they married? Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Pastor included that group too. Amen. Had kids before you were married.
even though it was sin. I know sometimes in church, they try to make you feel bad, but the baby ain't sin. We're all born in sin, whether you're married or not. All of us are born in sin. So don't shame them that bad, because the baby ain't sin. The baby's God's creation. In fact, it gives testament how good God is, because the baby is a creation from God, because God is the creator. He said everything from day one is good. But the enemy wants us to glorify same-sex couples. He wants to annihilate God's creation and exterminate it by convincing us it's okay to live a lifestyle that won't allow us to reproduce. Because that's the only way he can give his glory. He can't give credit and glory for creating humans, but he can give credit and glory for changing them. Follow me. He tries to copy God's plans. When God had Moses take his staff and come to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's magicians were there, Moses threw the staff down and turned to a snake. What did Pharaoh do? His magicians went around, cooked up their little incantation, and boom, threw their staffs down, and two snakes came too. Then God's snake ate those two snakes. He tries to copy and mimic what God does. When Jesus was in the wilderness, had he not ate for 40 days, he was starving. The enemy said, look here, turn them stones to bread and go ahead and make you something to eat. Why did he offer him bread? Because he knew back in the day, Israel in the wilderness complained about having no bread, and God gave them manna, fresh bread from heaven. So you're from heaven, so you know how to create manna. So make you that good sweet bread, go ahead and eat it, and follow what I need you to do. And Jesus said, no, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. He always tries to copy.
Bible.
And then what trips me out is that we sleep and don't know when to worship and when to praise, because he's coming with an antichrist. Antichrist, someone that looks like Jesus, that can heal, that says the right thing, says they worship God, and it says, guess what? The very elect gonna be fooled, maybe fooled, if you don't know who God is for yourself. I ain't letting Thomas testify that I know about him. He's been too good to me. He's been too kind to me. I know his word. So I can't be easily confused, because the devil knows he's coming to try to copy God so he can receive his worship, y'all. That's why 2 Corinthians 11:14 says this, and no wonder even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Woo!
Disguises himself. It sounds good. It makes sense, but not to God. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. So go read it for yourself. I ain't got time to go through the whole lineage, but we see the dawn of civilization in Genesis 4. This lineage comes into the knowledge about raising livestock, about making tents, about playing instruments, and making tools of bronze and iron, y'all. So this is where we see the corruption of the world begin. The whole world is flipped upside down with this lineage. So I'm thinking about it. If Satan is going to pick someone or a group of people, watch this, to do his will, why wouldn't he start with Cain? Why wouldn't he start with him? Cain represented everything that Satan did.
Yeah.
He and the lineage of Cain worshiped God how they wanted to. So I'm going to pick somebody. I'm going to pick a group of people who, cool, yeah, you can acknowledge him, but worship him however you want to.
Yeah.
It don't take all that. My it don't take all that. Why you reading today? It don't take all that. Why you getting your devotional? It don't take all that. Why you pray so much? It don't take all that. Why you at church on Sunday? It don't take all that. Be careful when people tell you what it don't take, and you know what it do take. Be careful when everybody tell you what it don't take, and their spirit don't match yours. Be careful when they tell you what it don't take, and their relationship don't look like how you want your relationship to be. Be careful, because you get so caught up, and you're right, it don't take all that. I can do this, I can do that. And before you know it, the enemy who disguised himself as the angel of light got you tripping and tweaking and all messed up. So the last descendant written about is a man named Lamech, y'all. Lamech. His name is in the other lineage too. It says he took for himself two wives. Amen. He gotta say, hey, I'm too much of a player out here, y'all. I can't just have one. I need two wives. Amen. I need two wives. And then he bragged to them how he killed a man who attacked him, and he killed another young man who wounded him. Then he said, if someone gonna kill Cain, because he got to get punished 7 times for what he did to Abel, because I killed 2 brothers, I should receive 77 times under my belt. Don't he sound like a rapper, praise God? Don't he sound like a rapper? This is Genesis 4. He's like a rapper. I know what he did, but I'm better. I killed more people, I got more women, and I deserve more punishment, more street cred, because of who I am. That's a trip. In Genesis 4, they bragging about multiple women, bragging about killing people. We see the corruption of the world starting, y'all.
Jesus.
So look at this, y'all. Genesis 4, 25 and 26. We're going somewhere. Follow me. Adam had sexual relations with his wife again. She gave birth to another son. She named him Seth, for she said, God has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom killed Cain. That's what his name is. So when Seth grew up, he had a son, named him Enosh. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. Amen.
Wow.
At that time, somebody say at that time.
Say
so the times changed,
yeah,
when they had another son.
Yeah.
Abel, who's a testament to us all, who lived by faith, amen, that when God called for an offering, he looked around and said, I gotta give God my best.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I know I got some sheep over here. That one got a little length to it. He ain't gonna want that one. That one's a little runt. He ain't gonna want that one. Let me find my best lamb, the best of my flock.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give that to God. Why? Because he's giving the best to me.
Yeah.
He's allowed me to breathe. Amen. I'm alive because of God. I got my strength and my health because of God. I got my right mind because of God. I'm here because of God. So because I'm here, me, mom, and daddy are here. He really, mom and daddy told me how we got kicked out of the garden. God really could have killed us all right then and there because they disobeyed him. But we still here, so I'm going to give God my best.
That's it.
Now, she said, I got another son to replace him. And now people are worshiping God by name. So you got two different lineages that are forming. Amen. A group of people who worship God however they saw fit, and a group of people who worship God by his name.
Yeah.
This group of people aren't perfect. This group of people still got issues with sins in the world.
Yeah.
These people are still in fallen state just like we are. But one thing about it, they know how to worship. They ain't perfect. They ain't got everything together. They ain't figured out every issue in their life. They still dependent on God, but they know how to worship. They know where their help comes from. They know where my strength comes from. I love this. So Genesis 5 gives us a lineage of Adam to Seth all the way down to Noah. So we first learn about Enoch, who was Noah's great-great-grandfather. Amen. Look at this, Genesis 5, 21 and 22. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had sons and daughters. Okay, so let's look at the name Enoch. Enoch means teacher. That's what his name means. Enoch means teacher. So you see Cain, who has a son at the beginning, he named his first son Enoch, which meant teacher. So he was the teacher of teaching people how to worship wrong.
Come on.
Man, he's the teacher of invoking our own will in our worship. He's the teacher to saying, forget that God stuff. We're going to do things our way and be prosperous anyway. He's the teacher of that. But then later on, Seth begins to set down some boundaries. I love this. Seth didn't have a teacher come down his lineage till Seth set up what the lineage should be. Seth began the one being worshipped. And Seth saying, look here, I got to hold it down first. I got to make sure I'm the first teacher.
Yeah.
I'm the first one that gets to know who God is. So I got to make sure lineage after lineage is set up. So we find Enoch further down the lineage tree, but his name means teacher.
Come on, teacher.
But what happens if I'm being taught the wrong things? See, in life, you got to know who the teacher is and who the substitute.
Come on.
Yeah, amen. Somebody has church to be
there.
In life, you got to know who your teacher is and who your substitute. Thank God for substitute teachers, amen. Thank God for them, right? Teaching these days off. They have family sometimes. Kids get sick. But guess what? A substitute can't teach a semester. They not equipped to teach a semester like that, amen. Matter of fact, when you get into middle schools and high schools, the reason they're not teachers is because they haven't passed all the qualifications yet. They haven't got the degree. They haven't took what they need to take, amen. And because we get caught up in not learning from the right people and allow anybody to teach us, we get caught up in the wrong thing. See, Satan is the substitute, but Jesus Christ is the teacher. And I come to confirm, all of us are learning day by day. Somebody teaching you something every day, whether it's your phone, whether it's your TV, whether it's your life and rain. We're learning every day, and you got to choose what I'm learning. Is it God sent or hell sent? What I'm learning, is it from the God that I serve, or is the enemy disguising to be like God? Ooh, you got to know who your teacher is. So we're in Genesis 5, 21, 22. It says he became the father of Methuselah. So who was Methuselah? Methuselah is the oldest living person in the Bible. Amen. He's the oldest. You won't find nobody older than Methuselah in the Bible. And his name means his death shall see. Man, my God. Can you imagine naming your child that?
Right.
Praise God. I believe names are important. We should name our children something strong in the Lord. But his name means his death shall sin. Imagine God giving you that the name for your son. I remember when God told me I was going to have a Daniel. Amen. He told me I was going to have a son, and I didn't know what the name of this was when she was pregnant with Serenity. Praise God. Amen. So Daniel came so long after that, but God, I know what God told me. He told me I have a son. I remember praying one day, and I came out of the prayer closet, out of my apartment. I was getting on my way to work, and on the TV, it said, Dare to be Daniel. And I said, that's his name. I've been praying about it. She was pregnant. I was wrong, obviously. We had two girls after that. But eventually, Daniel came, right? But he gave me the name. I knew he gave me that name. So imagine God giving you the name of your son, and his name is His Death Shall Sin. See, after the birth of Methuselah, it said this, that Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. See, when God starts speaking, you ought to start seeking. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to say it again. When God is speaking, that's when you need to be seeking what God is saying. See, I just want to know about God. God uses events in our life sometimes to get our attention. Yeah, ain't nothing by chance. Ain't nothing by happenstance. God uses events in our life to get us attention, because sometimes we keep living how we living, doing whatever we want to do, ain't thinking about God, ain't worried about God. We ain't worried about none of that stuff. And then God says, no, I need you to pay attention. Your life and your soul depend on this. Pay attention. So sometimes, like Enoch, it comes with the birth of a child, like Methuselah. Sometimes it's the death of a person. When King Uzziah died, it wasn't until then the prophet Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet who prophesied about Jesus 2,000 years before Jesus was born, wasn't able to even hear from God until King Uzziah died. Sometimes it's sickness and hard times, like Job. Job didn't ask for none of that. His name came up. He didn't ask for any of that. He got sick as could be. All his children died. He lost all he had. But that's how God was able to get his attention.
That's it.
So what I've learned about life, there isn't one specific way that God gets us closer to him.
Yeah, Jesus.
But all I do know is this. When life starts life, my God, you better turn up your antennas.
Yeah.
You better pray and listen and pray.
Yeah.
Whatever avenue God is using to get you closer to him, you ought to praise him for it.
Yeah.
I miss y'all shout. I said, whatever avenue, whatever heartache, whatever pain, whatever disappointment, whatever hurt that had to happen in your life for you to draw closer to God, you ought to praise him for it. Because if he didn't do it, you would have kept living how you was living. If you kept doing it, you would have died a long time ago. If he didn't do it, you'd be sitting in your grave. If you didn't do it, you might have a disease you couldn't get rid of. Thank God for whatever avenue he used to talk to us. Because truth be told, we probably wasn't really thinking about him. Truth be told, he wasn't on our mind. Truth be told, I was living how I was living. Truth be told, I was cool getting high every day. Truth be told, I was cool getting drunk all the time. Truth be told, I was cool with fornicating. Truth be told, I was cool with popping ecstasy pills. I'm just talking about my testimony. You can say amen when I get to you. But truth be told, I was cool doing a little bit of everything and anything. And wasn't thinking about him. And then he shook me. Thank God for his shaking. Thank God for his shaking. Shaking our spirits, shaking our hearts, and shaking our minds. The truth be told, we didn't deserve it. Truth be told, we wasn't looking for it. I don't know why he changed my heart. I don't know why when I go to the gas station, I don't buy blunt wraps. I didn't ask for that. I was cool getting high. I didn't ask for that. But he shook me. Ooh, God, I thank you for shaking me. Waking me up.
Thank you, God.
Some of us are so asleep.
Yeah.
And God says, if I don't use a hard time, if I don't use some circumstances that will make you look and revisualize your life and revamp some things, you're going to continue on the path of destruction. And because I love you that much, I don't want you on that path. Then you got to choose the right path, but I'm going to give you the avenue to choose the right path. You gotta choose it, but I'm gonna open the gateways. I'm gonna put a detour. I'm gonna say, stop right here and turn left. Stop right here and turn. You turn right here. Danger lies ahead. So God uses avenues.
Thank you, God.
To help us to see him. So Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. Another version says he walked with God. So this is what it turns out to be. Our worship is in our walk. Amen. Our worship of God really is in our walk. Enoch is an example of believers what true worship should look like.
Okay.
He got a word from heaven. Methuselah, his son's name means he shall sin death.
Come on.
He was 65 when it happened. He didn't know when it would happen. He just knew what God said.
Yeah.
So then his relationship with God became his top priority. He began walking with God like never before.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember worship, the feeling of adoration or expression reverence toward deity. So worship, watch this, is not music.
Come on.
Amen, like some
yeah.
Okay. Worship is not music. I want us to understand this because look, in the lineage of Cain, you find the first people who learned how to play harps and instruments. So it was in the lineage of people who worshiped God however they wanted to, they had the music.
Yeah.
The lineage of Seth didn't have the music,
that's
but they knew who God was. While music is used to usher in the presence of God, amen. While we love music, I thank God for our praise team, amen. I thank God for the audience and y'all singing songs too. I love it. But worship ain't two fast songs or two slow songs. That's not what worship is, my God. Pray up somebody today. To worship for me, I hope this helps you. All I need to do is think about yesterday. Yeah. Somebody cut me out there. To worship, all I got to do is think about how he saved my life. To worship, all I got to think about is how he saved my soul. To worship, all I got to think about is how he died on my sins. To worship, all I got to think about is how he bought me out and he bought me over. Y'all missed it. He bought me out and he bought me over. To worship, all I got to do is think about how he changed my mind, how he changed my heart, how he loved me, how he defeated my enemies, how he never turned his back on me. To worship, all I got to do is think and I start shouting. To worship, all I got to do is think and I start lifting my hands. To worship, all I got to do is think and I start jumping up and down. I start praising. I get hyped because God has been that good and that kind to us all. I think the songwriter said it about this. He said it best. I'm grateful for the things you've done. Yes, I'm grateful for the victories you won. I could go on and on and on. Y'all miss y'all shout. I could go on and on and on. I ain't talking about Erica Badu. I could go on and on and on for the victories he's won, for the things he's done about your works, because I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm so grateful. God loves to hear us. Be grateful. That's how our worship is. Is that I'm grateful that he saved me. I'm grateful that he loved me. I'm grateful that he guided me. I'm grateful. So to show my greatness, I'm going to express adoration. I'm going to express reverence and respect for you in the highest regard. Because you've been so good. Woo! So Enoch,
God,
he shows us he was grateful. God showed him something. And he says, look here, I'm going to show my commitment to God by worshiping with you and walking with you. The text said, and I mean the text, 300 years he walked in close fellowship with God. In 300 years he walked in close fellowship with God. Amen. So look at what God showed him. I want to do some math with me. Amen. You go back and check it for yourself. So he was 65 when he had Methuselah. 65, that's when we begin to walk close in fellowship with God. Methuselah was 187 years old when he had Lamech. Remember we said that same name? Lamech in the other lineage was the one that had two weapons to kill two people, had two wives, living his best life. So Methuselah names him son Lamech. Methuselah lived another 782 years after Lamech's birth, which made him 969 years old, the oldest person in the Bible. Follow me, because this messed me up. Lamech was 182 years old when he had a son named Noah, which means that Methuselah, his grandfather, Noah's grandfather, was 369 years old. Okay, I told you, he lived to be 969. He was 369 years old when Noah was born. Look at Genesis 7:11. When Noah was 600 years old, on the 17th day of the second month, all the underground water erupted from the earth, and the rain fell in mighty torrents from the sky. Y'all missed it. He was 369. He died at 969. Noah was 600. Methuselah, his death shall see him. God gave him the revelation that the flood was coming through Methuselah. And Enoch said, look here, oh my God, something crazy about to happen. I got to make sure I'm the teacher, the example, that this lineage knows something coming. This lineage knows you better worship God. This lineage knows you better understand it and worship God, because something's going to happen when Methuselah's death comes. So God lined that up so beautifully. I couldn't believe it when I read it. It messed me up to know so detailed and how that works.
Wow.
So look at this, y'all. Genesis 23 and 24. Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day, say one day, he disappeared because God took him. Woo! My God. He was walking with God for 300 years. He's 365 now. And he's been walking in close fellowship with God. And then God took him. See, Enoch is one of two people in the Bible that did not experience a physical death. Enoch got took from God. And the other is Elijah. Elijah was walking, and God sent a chariot of horses and fire to come and swoop him up and take him straight to heaven. So after 300 years of commitment and faithfulness to walking closely with God, one day he disappeared. See, this is why I got to take my worship serious. Enoch got a message from God, and it changed his life. In fact, changed his walk with God. It didn't say he didn't know who God was before, because it said the lineage of Seth began to worship God by name. He knew who God was, but his life changed. He began to walk closely with God. Enoch is a prequel to the rapture.
Come on.
I love how God, how the Bibles make so much sense, and it's tied together. That the Bible says Jesus is going to come back as a thief in the night, going to come back and rapture, catch us up with him in the air, all those the dead in Christ first, and then us who are still living. So Enoch walked closely with God, and God took him, prequel to rapture. Jesus came in our world to die for our sins, and we may have eternal life, so he can take us with him. Because of that fact, it should make me walk closely with God. One day, because our faith and our worship is eventually going to take us out of here. So Enoch learned that because I walk in close with God, nothing can be the same. And I think about his commitment, y'all. He took 300 years of walking with God. Now I'm going to do a parallel numbers, because he was 65 when he started walking with God. So 300 years means he was 365 when God took him. Amen. Ain't none of us living that long. Praise God. Amen. I don't care how bad you want to. We're checking out of here. Ain't nobody going to be 365. It's a miracle if you make it to be 100. But what I can say is this, though, but for the next 365 days, my God. For the next 365 days. In this season of my life, I'm going to give my faith something extra. Amen. That I'm going to commit to walking closely with God. Then that commitment means, watch this, being able to separate whatever God tells me to separate from. That close fellowship with God tells me to cancel anything God says cancel. That close fellowship with God tells me why I got to leave some stuff in my past and not look back. That my faith is dependent on it. My family's dependent on it. My legacy's dependent on it. My lineage is dependent on it. For the next 365, and I'm going to ask God year by year to increase my worship, increase my faith, increase everything you have for me, because somebody's depending on it.
Yes, God.
Imagine if Enoch got the message from God and declined it. Imagine if Enoch says, you know what, his death shall sin. I ain't receiving that. I'm going to go somewhere else where somebody got a different word for me. I'm going to go to the lineage of Cain where they can tell me something good. Because we got to be careful, because sometimes when God's trying to warn us to help us, we want something that's watered down to make us feel good. You want to be comfortable. And we want something watered down to make us feel good instead of looking at the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts. Sometimes the truth is hard. But give me the truth if it's going to change me. Give me the truth if it's going to make me a better person. Give me the truth if it's going to make me a better person, a better son, a better daughter, a better husband, a better wife, a better friend, whatever it may be. Give me the truth. Enoch said, I'd rather reside in truth. And if that means I got to walk with God for the next 300 years, so Methuselah knows his purpose. So when he has his son, and think about this, y'all, this is amazing, because this is why they got to be in tune with God. In those days, they had so many sons and daughters, but only one is mentioned, each one. So I got to be so in tune with God that I'm setting up the right person.
Come on.
I got to be so in tune with God that I make sure this is the right one that carries the blessing.
Come on.
Enoch had to know it was Methuselah, not his other sons and daughters. Methuselah had to know it was Lamech, not his other sons and daughters. Lamech had to know it was Noah, not his other sons and daughters.
That's it. My God.
So in this season, y'all,
thank you, Jesus. Thank
if we're going to press start on our faith, we got to press start on our worship.
Thank you, Jesus.
And our worship begins and ends with how we walk. Not just how we sing, not how we play instruments, not how we preach, not how we just pray, but it starts out with how we walk in our commitment to God. Because there's a generation coming up underneath us, my God. It's a generation that's coming underneath us that knows nothing about God. We've turned backwards in that sense. Yeah, they know Lil Wayne, they know Boosie, they know everybody else. They may, I go for my some rappers I don't even know yet. Lil Durk, they know all that. But they don't know Jesus. And I'm convinced them people are speaking death over their life. I'm convinced these people, watch this, because worship really is conforming to the image. That's what true worship is. Worship is conforming to the image. Okay, you got people, anybody here like Michael Jackson? Like, we would like Michael Jackson, right? Who got the Thriller jacket in the closet? Who got the glove on their hand? See, that's the true worshiper right there. Because they're conforming to the image. So if we're not careful, it's going to be a generation that conforms to an image that's not Christ-like. And really, is all they're doing is giving it work. We all created to worship. That's what we're created to do. So we're all looking for something to worship. Be careful, the descendants of Cain worship the wrong thing. So it's up to us as the teachers, the leaders, the matriarchs and patriarchs of our family to teach them to press start on our worship. Amen. Hey, you got a praise in this place. Amen. Woo. Father God, we thank you. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, oh God. We praise you, oh God. We bless you, oh God. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. I don't know where any of you are in your relationship with Christ. Amen. I don't know. But what I do know is that if you're not saved, you should get saved. It's not a pressure thing. You got to do it out of love in your heart. That because you feel that Christ died for your sins, because Christ loves you enough to give up his life for you. Hey, if I'm willing to die for it, he's willing to live for it. That's all it is to it. Amen. If I'm enough to die for it, he's enough to live for it. And that's my worship, conforming to the image of him. So if you've never been saved before, amen, I want to ask you, today is a great day to give your life to Christ, amen. Maybe you are saved, but don't have a church home, amen. I'm saved, but pastor, I just don't have a church home, not connected to a body. We would love to have you and increase your faith in God, amen, and help you to become who God has called you to be, amen. Or whatever your situation may be. Maybe you want to be baptized. I don't know what it is, but if you need something from God today, don't stand in your seat. If you need something from God today, don't be confined to your seats. Have the strength to stand up. Because I've been through too much not to worship him, amen. If you think about your life, all the times you made it out of, amen. All the times somebody's in jail right now for doing the same thing you did, but you didn't get caught. And some of us should be glad about it, amen. Some people, amen, are in a grave right now. They did the same thing you did. But that wasn't your plight in life, amen. I've been through too much not to worship him, amen. So if you're ready to give God your worship, your heart, your mind, your soul, this call is for you, amen. If you're ready to give God your all, amen. Even if you're online, amen, you're welcome to text us, message us, amen. But if you want to give God whatever your heart, your mind, today, I say, like, today, your day.
That's it, don't wait.
Because tomorrow's
not
promised. Because tomorrow is my problem. We just talked about it, amen. I heard Lady Thomas in there. So I was preparing the message, amen. It's been funerals and deaths already. We just a week in 2023. Just a week in. It's been funerals and deaths already. No man knows the hour nor the day. I know everybody talking about Jesus cracking the sky, but guess what? When you in that casket, he cracked your sky. When you in that casket, you got to meet him. You got to talk to him and give him account for your life. Not my mama's life, not my daddy's life, not my wife's life, not my kid's life. I got to give him account for George H. Thomas III. Nobody else. So if you're ready to give an account for your life, on your own accord, man, God bless you. But I know I need the blood. I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need his kindness. I need everything he has, amen. So is anyone, amen, maybe you need special prayer, amen. You need to be saved. Called to baptize, wherever it may be, amen. I want to give you this time. Y'all know me, I don't draw this out, amen, but if you're feeling the need for God, amen, I don't want to hold you back. Worst thing you can do is go back home the same way you came.
You
should never leave church and go back home and feel the same way you came, amen. You should feel encouraged, you should feel uplifted, you should feel you got the strength to keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Jesus.
Ooh, thank you, Jesus.
My
Hallelujah. My worship is for real. Amen. Anybody else? Amen.
Thank you,
if not, I'm going to pray for y'all anyway. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Come here. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Say, Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you. Amen.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you. Amen. We thank God. Amen. For these two coming up for prayer. Amen. Is there anybody else? If there's anybody else that needs anything, amen. As we get ready to prepare to pray, anybody else want to encourage you to pray for you? And lift you up, amen. Hallelujah, amen. Ooh, Father God, we thank you, O God, for today, O God. I thank you, O God, for who you are in our lives, O God. I thank you, O God, for these two, O God. That even their walk is by faith, oh God, today. Amen. I thank you, God, for their presence and being here, oh God. You know what's going on, oh God. Trying times and hearts hurting, oh God. But I pray, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you give them a peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray, Father God, right now, Father God, you help their hearts and their minds. I pray, Father God, right now, we call upon you, oh God. You are Jehovah Jireh, oh God, our provider, oh God. Not just things that we need that are basic needs, oh God, but you provide healing, oh God. You provide help, oh God. You provide strength, oh God. You provide all the things we need, oh God. Not just for my bills to be paid, Father God. Not just that, but you provide everything, Father God. So I pray, oh God, that they get to know you as Jehovah Jireh, their provider in the name of Jesus, oh God. Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, oh God. Touch their hearts and their minds, oh God. Touch Ms. Dominique, oh God, and her staff, oh God, right now in the name of Jesus. We lift them up to you, oh God. Her daycare, oh God. The children, oh God. Cover them with your blood as only you can in the name of Jesus, oh God. I pray, oh God, that in the midst of God, anything, oh God, heartache, tragedy, and pain, oh God, you bring them closer together. Don't let the enemy tear apart, because the enemy thinks he's slick, he's conniving. He tries to come in when hearts are tender. He tries to come in when tragedy happens. He tries to come in when hearts are broken. So I come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus and say it won't live, it won't come in, it won't even begin, oh God. I pray, oh God, for your manifold blessings to be upon them right now, Father God. Hold them with your unchanging hands, oh God. Touch them, oh God. Touch their hearts, their minds, even the babies, oh God. I speak nothing but blessings. I speak life, oh God. I speak healing. I speak, God, only what you have called us to speak, oh God, those good things, oh God. And I say all is well with them, oh God. Help us as a church, oh God, to pray for them, oh God, to encourage them and to lift them up, Father God, till you have your will, your way in their lives, oh God. Bless them indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 You never know what nobody's going through. And this is our plight as believers, y'all, to pray for one another. I know Larry Thompson, I think we say it a lot, but we'll probably say it more in 2023, that it's our job and our job to pray for all y'all and cover y'all. And we love it. That's our job. But it's also y'all's job, too, to pray for one another.
That's it.
Because we're all believers in Christ. Amen.
Amen.
This is pastor responsibility. Pastor, don't get me wrong. I got my responsibilities. Amen. But you're supposed to pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, y'all. Because 1 week, that's going to be your week. It's 52 weeks in a year.
Yeah.
1 week going to be your
you're
week.
You're going to need it.
You might be good today. Amen.
Yeah.
But 1 week, you're going to need that strength. You're going to need somebody praying for you. You're going to need somebody to shoulder the crown. You're going to need it. So we want to always remember that and be mindful. So pray for one another. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. So we thank God for today. At this time, we want to get ready to receive our offering. Amen.
Amen.
If you need an envelope, please raise your hand. I want our ushers to give you an envelope. If you need an envelope, if you need to give electronically, we have text to give and we have Cash App, Buffer Fine. However, you will need to give, please do so at this time. Amen.
Amen.